This is Serena Vincent from Cabin Fever and Return to House on Haunted Hill, and you are listening to the Don't Go Out There podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all of our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's film review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I want to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode. All right, guys, on to the film review. We're continuing on with our 2000s theme with Brother Mike's pick. Mike, you want to announce your pick and why you picked it?
First of all, I just want to apologize to everybody for picking this film. Second of all, I picked 2002's Cabin Fever because it was one time to do this film. It's kind of got a little bit of a split down the middle vibe online from what I can tell. A little 50-50. Some people love, some people hate. And looking by just looking at Dustin, my co-host's face, he's on the side that hates it. And Brian as well. I knew that was coming though. I picked the movie straight up because it had Ryder Strong in it and it was time to do the film. No special reason except for I love Boy Meets World. But this is a completely different character from Sean Hunter. I'll talk about that in my closing, actually.
I was going to say second appearance on the Don't Go Out There show for Ryder
Strong. That's right, buddy. That's right. And you can listen to that at
don'tgooutthere.com. Plus, it's insane that the first appearance was literally Boy Meets World episode on a horror movie podcast.
Completely. Dude, that's an episode.
That's a horror episode.
I know, it's crazy.
It's more horror than Bone Tomahawk. Anyway.
Well, fuck yeah, out
I'm just kidding, man.
More that's horror insane. Than Frailty.
Oh, come on. That's a good film.
A Maximum Overdrive picker, by the way.
Literally horror. Literally horror.
Okay. Yeah,
horrible. Go ahead.
Stick to your day job, pal.
Yeah, at least I got one. Oh, that was fucked up. That was fucked up.
Damn it. He's quitting the show, pal. Quitting the show.
Oh, God, come on, man. I love you, brother. Come on, man. We can't fuck with each other.
Listen here, you motherfucker. Oh, hey.
That was fucked up. I'm sorry. Yeah, I love you, man.
No,
I'll cash app you some money.
Leave it in. That was funny.
God damn.
All right. Yeah, that's the reason I picked it. I actually had a fun time with it, but it is a bad film. Like, I think it's an objectively pretty bad movie, but I do think it can be fun. It's for me, it started to teeter on so bad it's good in some places. Didn't quite get there. My biggest complaint is that I want these kills to be a lot better than they are, to be honest, for this kind of movie with the director that it has, Eli Roth. I fully expected better kills, and they're just not there for me. But again, fun, nostalgic cast. And my man Bert, and I know that everyone on this show will appreciate that, looks and sounds like fucking Rob Van Dam. To the voice, to his face, go look at it and compare it. Anyway, had a good time doing it.
All right. I'll go next.
Uh-oh. Lands on the love side.
I had the great pleasure of meeting Mr. Eli Roth in the past few months. Very nice guy.
Same.
I respect him. I know the vision. I watched some interviews he done about this movie. I know the vision he had. and I completely understand that there is a cult following for this movie. Like, if you follow, like, if you get on our Instagram, look through the stories, there's those templates or whatever where people pick the 2000s movies. A lot of people pick Cabin Fever as one of their favorites.
They do.
Yeah, I am not one of them. I do not like this movie whatsoever. I've struggled to find anything positive that I do like about it. No offense to friend of the show, Serena Vincent. She's wonderful. She deserves every penny she got from this movie. And behind the scenes, me and Brian did an interview. She is one of the most patient people you'll ever meet, too, because we called her through Skype, and it hung up on her like four times in a row. So it took like an hour to do a 30-minute interview. So shout out to her. But yeah, I got to be honest. This is one of the movies that I hate the most that we've done. There's nothing redeemable about it. It you got bad characters, bad dialogue. The kills are mid. It's not scary. And Deputy Winston is horrible. I don't have anything positive really to say about it. So yeah, I think the movie's terrible, but I understand why we picked it.
Let me ask you this. If you had to, gun to your head, you have to watch one or the other. Are you watching Cabin Fever or Three from Hell?
Gun to your head. Gun to your head and you can't pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's not an option.
I would pick Cabin Fever.
Oh,
just because it's got Serena Vincent and it's like 25 minutes shorter, but I don't like either of them.
You picking this movie or Maximum Overdrive?
Ugh, fuck!
Come on, there's Maximum Overdrive is fine. Come on.
I don't like either of them. Maximum Overdrive, because you can get some laughs at least.
Thank you.
Jesus. All right, so Nico may remember, because I think, or it might have been him that I was texting whenever I was like, I think I'm going to try to watch Cabin Fever a few years ago, and didn't make it through the entire thing. Like you mentioned, we had the absolute pleasure of interviewing the amazing Serena Vincent. So then I thought at that time, okay, I'll give it another shot, because I really wanted to like this movie for her. Like, she was that awesome. But alas, it was to no prevail. I remember quickly why I didn't make it through it the first time. But I kind of had to make it through it this time. Thanks, Mike. And yeah, I still don't like this movie at all. It's unwatchable to me. And I say that meaning it. Like, I've tried to watch it on my own twice and it is literally unwatchable to me. You know, a lot of people say the gore is good. And really, really, is it? Because to me, it's not really all that great. But everything else about the movie, the dialogue, the directing choices, you know, I'm just not a fan of at all. And it's not an Eli Roth thing. You know, I'd say I'm honestly about 50-50 with him and his movies, you know, that I've seen up to this point. But come on, like this one's awful, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And am I wrong? Did they remake this movie in 2016? Did I see that? Like, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's like a sequel.
And it's like shot for shot.
I haven't seen it. I ain't going to pick it or watch it.
Well, I think there could be good bones on the story. Good meat on the bones. That's it for a good story. It's kind of like Bones. You know, you remember we reviewed that one. I admitted, like, there's potential here for a good story if it's done right. And I think there's potential in this one for a good story. It's just not this. This movie was god-awful. If, you know, Mike said it's split. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I have to believe that the ones that love it truly do it ironically. Like, there's no way people like this movie unironically, because it is bad. The acting and dialogue are horrible. Character decisions, stupid. And you guys have noticed I'm recording this episode in a Falcons Michael Vick jersey, because this movie killed so many fucking animals that PETA has to hate it. So I figured, why not just join in on that and wear the Mike Vick jersey? I mean, I've never in my life seen a movie have just so much violence towards animals that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And I'll get into it in the scene by scene breakdowns, but Jesus, this movie was just, this was a Costco sized tub of ass juice. I haven't used that phrase in a while.
Well, and I am a little bit at least curious of the remake or even the sequel, because, and only because of Evil Dead, that franchise. I hated the first movie. Like, I think the Evil Dead OG is awful, in my opinion. But I have come around on those damn, like, the remakes are fantastic, I think. And so, you know.
So the issue I have in that comparison is that I think Evil Dead knew, like, I truly believe he knew what he's doing. Like, this is bad. We're using claymation. Like, this is supposed to be so bad. It's good. This one, I think Eli Roth legitimately thought, hell yeah, dude, I'm making a banger. This one's going to set the genre on fire.
I do believe
and
that.
And it did. So
I do believe that.
That's where I differentiate those two movies.
Very fair. Any more opening thoughts before you jump to the scene by scene? All right,
certain
events,
call me sometime. Beat Mike to it.
Damn it. I have it in my notes, pal. I'm still going to say that shit. Gimmick stealing motherfucker. Let's get
it. All right, let's jump to the scene by scene. The film starts with Brian's favorite, nature shots. Henry the Hermit is walking through the woods, finding his dog lying on the ground. He finally realizes he's dead as blood squirts on his face and he screams. And we cut immediately to Marcy in the truck screaming, "No more finals," to some kids on the sidewalk. She yells at them to not go to college. It's a scam and sucks. They drive off, have some basic road trip banter until they make it to a general store. Paul sits on a swing with a random kid, Dennis, who snaps on Buddy, biting his hand. Jeff asks Tommy if it's smart to leave this kid out here. It could be a liability, and you might face a lawsuit. Paul goes to a stream to wash his hands. Cadwell tells all of them of his stories on his old sherry bottles and not to drop the bottle of fox piss. More banter until Cadwell drops the hard ER. Tommy stops Bert and asks him about stealing a Snickers bar. He returns the candy and gets in the truck. They drive off and Bert yells he forgot his apple juice at the store. I guess he was too busy stealing. They go off road and finally make it to the cabin. Jeff and Marcy go straight to the bed until Paul interrupts them. And then we see Bert is spying on them through the window. Paul and Karen ask Bert why he's killing squirrels. Because they're gay. And fires off a shot. The most powerful BB gun I've ever heard. Paul lets out his feelings to Karen and she says, "Race you to the raft." Montage of Bert shooting at squirrels and peeing, Marcy and Jeff having sex, and Paul and Karen at the dock tanning. Karen randomly tells a story of some guy trying to kiss her, which turns into Paul kissing her. She rolls into the water and swims away. Bert lights the most dangerous campfire ever and goes hunting again. He hears a noise and shoots at Henry. He tells Bert he's sick and needs help. He's delirious and continues walking towards Bert. He shoots at the ground and Henry falls back into the hole. All right, Bryce, opening set of scenes, what do you think?
So we open up with over 2 full minutes of credits. And, you know, right off the bat, just out of habit, I almost complained. But then I realized, oh, well, that actually knocks the runtime down to about an hour 20 something. So I don't have to sit through this, you know, much longer. So I was kind of honestly kind of wish they would have gone longer because the damn cold open with his dog is fucking disgusting. And it looks fake as hell. And how can we not tell that he's dead, by the way? How can the guy, like, what's happening? Decent introduction of the characters. I would have liked to see more dialogue, but then again, given how bad some of the dialogue is, probably not. I think it was probably character development is what I meant to say. They're not really dialogue, given how bad it is. You know, and I think, yeah, I maybe go off on a tangent here, but I think my problem with this movie is that it tries to be quirky, but yet also horror at the same time. Like, It's just the sound cue when Dennis bites Paul, like that whole thing just seems so like fucking out of place. And then we get this hard R, like you mentioned, being thrown around right at the start, just for no reason whatsoever. It doesn't add anything to the story. And what I mean by that, going back to Django. I mean, that has the hard R, but it makes sense in the movie, in the flow of what's going on in the time period. This is fucking crazy. Like, it's just out of nowhere. It makes no sense. And then we ask Paul to wash his hands in a lake due to possible tetanus. Like, what's happening right now? Like, what is that? How does that make sense? And look, one of two scenes in this entire movie that I do like, one of two does happen here. I do like the moment on the lake between Karen and Paul. Like, I think Jordan and Ryder both have good chemistry. It felt real, which is one of the few times in the entire movie. Jordan Ladd, by the way, is in Death Proof. I'm definitely picking that movie very soon. Sadly, though, I think it's Bert who has the most written for him, but it's just bad to me. The comic relief isn't it's not funny. Like, stupid's funny, so it's not that. Use Chewie and Wade from the 09 Friday as an example. Like, I feel like that's comic relief that's done right. But again, I know that's subjective. I definitely buy him as a fucking moron, but I don't buy his performance for comic relief, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this movie opens with like the longest fucking credits ever. And then we get dead animals. So we're really off to a just fucking shaky start here. You beat me to it by 3 minutes, Dustin. Serena Vincent, throw me some time. Honestly, the first time I saw this kid, I thought it was a dummy. I was not convinced it was a real human, so that was interesting. And Jeff is a real fucking douchebag, but in certain areas of the movie, and I'll point this out as they come, he's almost the only one that's kind of smart. Like, he's a dick, but he actually does some of the smarter things out of everybody, but whatever. They did this whole N-word bomb to set up a joke that wasn't even funny at the end of the film. That's it.
Yeah.
One joke later, that's the only reason it's in here, and it's gone.
What did I miss that? I missed that whole
at the very end.
At the very end.
There's black guys enter the story. He tells him a gun. He calls him his N-words, and then they're all playing music together as the credits roll.
Why did I must have fallen asleep by then.
I think gave up, buddy. You gave up hope, man. And it's bad. It doesn't fit. I know they're trying to kind of sell this whole scary mountain town place, but here's the problem. None of those people that are in this store at that moment are black. So what's that? Doesn't do anything. Anyway, my man Bert stole a goddamn Snickers. Like, out of everything you could have taken in that story, so a single Snickers bar, bro. And he probably eats it vein down before you say anything.
I was going to say, you've probably stolen a couple of Snickers just to get that texture.
I don't like Snickers. I don't like Snickers.
Just to get that texture.
Buddy, I don't like texture. Nuts. I don't like nuts, okay? So
that ain't what I heard. Go ahead.
I do love a good trip to the cabin, but why is this, like, named Bunyan Mountain? That's fucking weird. And, like, some of the stuff you guys have already said, I feel like he tried way too hard to get kooky and scary, and it ends up coming out this weird imbalanced mess. Like, also, Sean Hunter being a cockblock, not in my universe, not ever, would Ryder Strong, Sean Hunter, be a cockblock to anybody. That is not how he operates. He's always looking out for his people and himself. Bert is funny sometimes, you know, like you said, Brian, but, like, again, there's too much Bert. He's overexposed. He's in the whole movie, and it's not a well enough written character where I want to see him the majority of the time. He should be sprinkled in lightly as comic relief, and he's not. He's like a big main character, and I just don't like it. Okay, so I have a question. I didn't look this up. I probably should have, so I apologize.
What, the budget?
No, I did, asshole. God damn it, I haven't missed it in like 3 years. It's been like 3 years since I missed that budget. I haven't lived it down yet. Jesus Christ. Anyway, what I was about to ask, Dick Stain, is at the beginning of the movie, they say they're college grads. Like even the plot synopsis says they're college graduates. All their exams are done. Yeah, they could be midterms. That's fine. It's fucking fall outside. They are swimming in this lake with no shirts on, laying out in the sun on the dock. It's fucking fall. They made it seem like they had just graduated college. That's the way that I took it. So unless I missed something, it's supposed to be summer and the fucking leaves look like an Iowa football game in the background. Like, it makes no sense. And I don't know if there's a reason for it. I just missed it or what, but it starts to bug me when they're on that dock. I do like that scene, Brian. I agree with you, but it kind of like removes it from me when I'm like, God, it's probably fucking chilly outside, man. And they filmed this at Mount Airy, North Carolina. It was probably pretty fucking cold when they did that scene. Anyway, he's the little line, so you like me now? Fucking just terrible dialogue. Jesus Christ. Last thing, the whole sequence of this man that's infected trying to get Bert to help him doesn't work because you've already set up the character of Bert not being serious. He's so fucking unserious that now he has to kind of be serious for a moment, and it's so over the top and hokey, and it doesn't land for me. So that's all I have.
Pretty disgusting opening credits. Like, the background was a nasty color. It made me uncomfortable, and the flies buzzing, just yuck. We get a great horror score in the open. It really sets the tone perfectly. So that's a compliment that I can pay the movie. Bro was trying to feed his dead dog a rabbit. What a fucking idiot. Like, we clearly saw blood for an extended time before he ever lifted the dog's leg. The hell was that about?
Eyes, like, not even moving either. Just
That irritated the shit out of me. I'm not sure what the point of showing Marcy trying to give her fella a handy dandy while he's driving, and then Bert laying his head on Paul's shoulder. Like, what was the point of that? We already cut away from the car ride, and then we go back to the car for that, and we immediately cut away again without a single line of dialogue or anything. It was a pointless 15 seconds. Like, I know that's a nitpick, a very minute amount of time, but it was just pointless. Everything in a movie should be progressing the story forward. That did not. Oh, man. This gas station scene makes me think I'm in for a long hour and a half. The dialogue and the whole scenario in general is just awful. And then, yeah, I damn near fell out of my chair when the old man said what the rifle was for. Hard R. When Bert is going to shoot some squirrels, we get some dialogue that wouldn't fly in 2024. This movie's off to a hot start. Karen shot Paul down in a brutal way there. Wouldn't even let him shoot a shot. Just change the subject. Cold world. Damn. And then, dog, what the fuck is this movie on? It's the first movie we've covered where a girl slipped a digi in a man's back door. Jesus. What was that about? I didn't need that. Anyway, right after running diversion so Paul couldn't hit on her, Karen kisses him. This woman is vile. She is an evil woman. She's playing with that man's emotions. What an open. And I don't mean that in a good way.
Who's worse, her or Marty's wife?
Oh, dude, Maggie Bird is the fucking shits, man. She's the drizzling shits. I'm pretty sure that God really created Adam and Maggie, and she's the one that ate the damn apple and cursed humanity.
Jesus.
Alrighty. Next set of scenes. Jeff and Marcy put out the fire and snap on Bert for being irresponsible. That night, they're roasting marshmallows and Paul tells campfire stories. We see the circle of people and the robber killing them all one by one with a hammer, forcing them to watch. Bert busts out laughing and then calls Marcy a slut, and Jeff says nothing to him. Jeff busts out laughing at the bald guy story until suddenly Justin appears with his dog, Dr. Mambo. He asks if they have room for one more. They shoot him down until he shows them all the weed he has. Karen has him sit down right beside him. Bert and Jeff make a bet they can only drink beer for the rest of their trip. Justin splits after it starts to rain. Paul looks down abysmal as Karen tells her story of using a shower head for reasons. Knock at the door and it's Henry the Hermit, who looks horrible. Bert slams the door on him after he says he shot him. Henry goes to the car and cranks it up, but he doesn't drive away. Henry vomits blood everywhere and they begin shooting at the car and smashing the windows. Paul lights them on fire and it cuts back to them in the cabin. Karen thinks they should tell the cops as Paul plays with honey on his fingers. Marcy, Bert, and Paul all relive moments from the day as lightning fills the sky. The guys are all arguing over damaging the car, and Marcy storms away by herself to go get help. We see a corpse floating in the drinking water reservoir. Paul tries to talk to Karen, but she's not in a great mood, but cries and hugs him. She drinks some water and says she's better. All right, Bryce, the next set of scenes, what do you think?
First of all, I said Maggie Bird. It's Maggie Hart. Marty, yep. Bird. Yeah, that's my bad. But yeah, Maggie Hart's the devil. Go ahead.
Wendy is Wendy Bird, right?
Yeah, Wendy Bird.
Yeah.
But Marty. Yeah.
I know what you meant. All right. So, yeah, man, this campfire scene, again, Ryder does well. So it's not his acting in this. And I mean, even just him telling the story may have been fine. I don't know. But showing the cheesy flashbacks as he tells it, it did nothing for me. Like, I didn't need that. It wasn't scary. It's not even relevant to anything going on in this movie. And it just felt like totally unnecessary filler. And look, speaking of filler, like including Dr. fucking Mambo and Eli Roth, like good jump scare. But otherwise, like, are you kidding me? Yeah, a doctor being a dog. Ooh, faced. Like, what is the point of him even being in there if he doesn't like come back? But I wrote that down, but then I asked myself, and honestly, though, really, I get it. If I made a movie, I'd write myself in it as well, but I'd probably do it more like Quentin did in From Dusk Till Dawn, if I'm being honest with you. and man, the hiker in the car, it doesn't really make any sense to me either. Like, why did he just get in the car and start revving the engine? Like, did he not know how to put it into gear or something? Like, it's just fucking crazy. And then Jeff telling Bert, who very obviously shot into the dirt to not hit the car, then immediately busting out his own windows. Like, I don't understand. I mean, it's just, it's a little shit that takes literally no effort to make sense. And you know, why the hell is Paul playing with honey and then letting it drip all over the table? Look, That's how you get fucking ants, by the way. And you aren't getting that deposit on the cabin rental back, big dog. You're fucking everything up around here. I'm just saying. Well, look, I did laugh, and I probably wasn't supposed to, but Karen telling Paul, we lit him on fire. Like, I don't, it's just the line delivery or just the whole thing being just so outrageous. It made me laugh, whether it was supposed to or not. And I'll just say my biggest issue with this entire plot, and I'll shut up. What fucking water supply is just open like this? And even if it was, like, where's the filtering? Because, mm-hmm. you know, for to say the cabin, for example, or anywhere else, because if it wasn't filtered, it would look like mud or just disgusting water, because literally anything could get in the water. Like, you wouldn't be able to drink it anyway, even if it wasn't tainted with some nutso flesh-eating virus, which in no way, by the way, would contaminate it that fast with that much water that was in there. So anyway, just throwing that out.
Bert using Smokey the Clown instead of Smokey the Bear was actually pretty funny. One of the few funny actual pieces of dialogue there. Mr. Sean Hunter here, he's going to be Sean Hunter the whole episode, so just get used to it. He had a pretty fucked up childhood with these stories he's telling, man. This man had it worse than Jeffrey Dahmer did. Jesus Christ. Honestly, this whole scene with Eli Roth, and it fucking blows, man. The whole scene sucks. I don't give two shits about Eli Roth or his fucking dog, man. And I'm just not sure I would take weed or beer from this guy. I don't care how old I was. I'm good. Thanks. You look kind of scary. It's just the character that Eli's playing, this over-the-top skater, bro. Like, oh, I can't stand it. It's really fucking annoying. but they're leaving because of the – see, this goes back to what I was talking about in the first set of scenes. They're leaving because of the rain, but they were cool swimming in the lake in the fall. I mean, what's the problem here? Anyway, whatever. Then my man Bert admits full-on bestiality. Right here, out in the open. Not sure I would do that. I mean, had a dog lick his balls and put something up and say, that's no thank you. It's fucking weird, man. Just would not admit that out loud. These dudes' batting averages are awful. They can't hit a fucking thing with these bats, dude. They missed every swing. And honestly, seeing them set on fire, seeing them set on fire was a cool scene. But then we like do this weird thing, and I don't know, maybe someone has an explanation. Why do we keep seeing these flashback visions of everything that go in reverse? Like a flashback, but everything's done the opposite way. That's fuck. They're a waste of time. They're dumb. They don't tie to anything else I saw. Anyway, then I know there was a scene that probably drove Brian nuts. He just didn't have it in his notes. This long tracking shot of a water pipe. Like, it was nature. There's a giant water pipe. And it's just this long tracking shot showing the pipe. You could have just shown that pipe for a second, and we all would have got the message. Like, bro, like we didn't need.
First of all, pause. I'm not looking at pipe all day. Second of all, I would have much rather seen nature shots the entire hour and a half than what we got here.
That's fair. Fair enough. I just wouldn't drink this water out of the cabin anyway. Sorry, I'm a water snob, but definitely wouldn't drink this cabin water. I will say this scene with Paul and Karen here is actually the recreated version of it, and the remake is actually better. I don't know if that's like a hot take or anything, but just throwing that out there, I think it's better. But anyway, that's all I have.
So Bert shot old boy and had no intention of going back to him. Damn, man, what a piece of shit. I'll let the whole snicker stuff from the racist go, but this is too far. I draw the line here. The campfire story itself is fine. We get stories like this in these kinds of movies all the time. But yeah, Brian, the cuts to the murders, that was weird. I don't know. It's just weird to shoot scenes for a story that doesn't tie into the actual story that we're watching. Right. So it was pointless. When Grimm walks up on the group with his dog, that was some of the worst dialogue I've ever heard. Ooh, faced. Holy shit, this is terrible. And it's Eli Roth himself, of course. Makes so much more sense. I agree with you, Brian. Like, we see Stan Lee in like every Marvel movie up until he died. We see Quentin Tarantino in a lot of movies. We see M. Night Shyamalan is in most of his movies, if not all. Don't have to make it over the top and absurd. But what's worse than that? Hearing that Bert was having a J.O. session and it didn't stop when his dog got in the mix. What the fuck? And then a crazy line of thinking. Dude is sick and spewing blood from his mouth, so let's shoot him and set him on fire. These may be the worst people to ever live.
Yes.
So yes. My thoughts thus far through two sets of scenes, my God, people actually like this movie.
That's about right.
Yeah. All right. Jeff and Bert make it to a farm, seeing a woman disembowel a pig who snaps because she can't eat the meat. It's all infected. She takes him inside, and they tell her about chasing the guy away. But they find out it's her cousin Henry, and they panic and leave. Marcy is canoeing and makes it across the lake. We get a Texas Chainsaw-style shot of Marcy walking to the house, and she yells out if anyone's home as she enters. Bert jump scares her and then eats up all the homeowner's beef jerky. Deputy Winston, the best character in the movie, can't stand this guy, knocks on the door saying there was a lot of commotion last night. Paul tells him the story, and Winston writes down the notes. However, Winston is more passionate about partying than getting them help. Winston rides off on his bike, and we see Bert and Paul washing the truck now. Bert says she likes him, until suddenly, Dr. Mambo shows up. They panic until Marcy shoots a gun in the air, scaring it away. Jeff wants to leave now, and they agree they'll tell the cops. Karen feels nauseous and goes to lie down. Bert says he can repair the Jeep enough to make it drivable. Paul goes to the room with Karen, giving her another glass of water. She asks him to stay, as we see Jeff shooting at the dog to keep Bert safe. That evening, Paul begins caressing Karen's face and body until he feels blood all over his hand once he goes under the blanket. Her thigh has a massive flesh wound. He washes his hands and yells for Marcy. Paul calms Bert down, and Jeff appears somehow not hearing anything that just happened. All right, Brian, it's the next set of scenes. What do you think?
Ugh. All right, well, I mean, you know this movie could have been over in 30 minutes had Jeff and Bert not freaked out and ran off for no reason. I mean, I get that they were scared, but
she didn't
know anything and, like, could have called the mechanic, just had him come out. Meanwhile, we don't. And so then what was their plan then? Like, walk all the way there and try to find the exact same mechanic? It doesn't make any logical sense, and I'm trying to put logic where it doesn't need to go, I guess. Definitely caught the Texas Chainsaw nod with the shot of Marcy approaching the cabin across the lake. No complaints here. Both this one and the 03 remake with Beale were fantastic uses of said cinematography there. Something else I want to complain about is, like you mentioned, Nico, the casting of these secondary characters, like Deputy Winston here, who shows up at the cabin. Like, this deputy doesn't even seem believable as a human being, much less a deputy. And let's talk about that blood on the truck that looks like paint. It looks real bad, like real bad. Mm-hmm. And the cleaning, come on. Like, speaking of blood, what the fuck with Karen and Paul, man? Like, you can literally hear the swishing sound effects that Roth used right there. Like, it was disgusting, dude.
Hey, Sarah, man, you didn't have to do that.
But seriously, I've talked shit about the acting, but again, Jordan Ladd screaming to let her out, to let her go to the bathroom. Like, she really does a great job here. James DeBello freaking out was a little over the top, but I could honestly see someone acting like that. I was like, oh shit, when I was looking through his IMDb, this guy's credited as the enthusiastic guy in American Pie. And he's been this.
Yes, he is. I was going to say, yes, he is.
But he's just been such a dipshit this entire time. Like, this comes off even hokey as well. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
Could you imagine cutting up a fucking pig and it being a sick hog? Like, that was honestly as much nasty shit as we get in this movie, one of the nastier parts of the film. Really fucking disgusting. I just thought it was really funny that during all this, Serena Vincent decides to take a fucking canoe ride in the lake. Like, all right, man, enjoy yourself. Whatever. Anyway, then they get like an OG Texas Chainsaw slow walk ass shot of her. That was kind of a nice little break in the action, to be honest. Man, and if Bert jump scared me like this, or if anybody did, I'm knocking his ass out. It's a punch to the face on sight for that shit with all this going on. My man, Winston, is the least convincing police officer of all time. Like, we have done some movies with some smelly cops, okay? This motherfucker is the drizzling shits, bottom of the pole, no doubt about it. I will take the cops from Halloween 5 over this motherfucker, and I'd stand on that, okay? One of the worst characters in the movie. Never noticing that the fact that the truck is all fucked up, or at least I didn't see it, is hilarious. When this dog starts to run up on them, Sean Hunter acts like he's going to throw the sponge he was cleaning with at it. What the fuck was that going to do? That shit was hilarious, man. I thought it was funny. it's just anyway, this is like a weird sexual scene that we get here, the Paul and Karen, because it's she's asleep. You know, it's kind of he kind of woke her up out of a dead sleep, didn't that? You know, never gave any hint, just did the thing. All right, whatever. Maybe it was just me. Then we get, like Brian said, this squishy sound, which, man, Eli Roth, what was you doing, dog? You didn't have to do all that. Just like that. And the last thing I will say is this is where Bert becomes an immediate no for me. Like, he's way over the top, screaming for no fucking reason, acting like a moron. I just, no thank you, man. He started to bump down my list of characters here.
So earlier, when I said that PETA has to hate this movie, this is what I'm talking about. We get a dead dog in the open. Bert wants to shoot squirrels because they're gay. And now we get a pig sliced open. Okay. What you said, though, Brian, Bert and Jeff freaking out the pig farmer's house. Why? There's no way she would have found out who they lit on fire. Why wouldn't they just get the damn tow truck? It's not logical. It makes no sense. This movie should be over now. One positive I'll give, though. When Bert says if the cops knew, they'd be at the cabin, and we cut to the cabin, and there's a knock at the door, and it's a cop. Well done. I don't know. I like that. That was good. The cop, though. Maybe I'm the only one, but I was looking at my phone typing notes when I watched this, because I'll admit, I only watched this piece of shit one time. There's no way I could have watched it twice. But when I was typing, when the cop first appears and starts talking, so I wasn't looking at the screen. If you close your eyes, he kind of sounds like DJ Qualls. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't him. Would have been much more entertaining. But the cop, he's way too calm about seeing a blood-covered truck. Dewey would never. Not sure why it was shot in slow motion when Dr. Mambo approached Paul and Bert. That was weird. I guess the only thing in the entire movie, I think, that was shot in slow motion. So, pointless. The camera lingering on the teacup. And the score getting all spooky when Karen drinks some tea. That's good foreshadowing of the plot. That was a positive, I guess. Like, that was fine. But then, now, Paul, what exactly did Karen do to make you think she wanted you to finger blast her while she's sleeping? The fuck? Then at first I thought that the Red River was flowing, but turns out she's much worse. She's sick. That's a tough scene. Did not like anything about that. Not getting any better, man. And there's still over 45 minutes to go.
Bro, Dewey is fucking Sherlock Holmes compared to this guy.
Damn right. Compared to most cops, if we're being honest.
Dude, Dewey is Benoit Blanc compared to this guy.
Look.
That's from Knives Out, Brian. Have you seen Knives Out yet?
Yes, I've seen Knives Out. Thank you.
I thought you didn't watch.
I haven't.
Oh, Dustin, change it immediately.
No, here's the thing.
I thought you seen Knives Out.
Glass Onion's on Netflix, but Knives Out, the first one's not, and so I'm not watching the second one until I've seen the first one. I'm not paying $3 to rent it.
That's weird. It was on Netflix. Okay.
It was for a long time. They're
until
not
the, until they added the second one.
They have no connection, but anywho, inside by the fire, they check each other's bodies out for flesh wounds. The group gets a mattress, and they escort Karen to a shed so she can isolate. She cries as she wants to go home, and the others go to find help. Later on, Marcy brings her some food, but she says, "You better close the door, Marcy. Wouldn't want to infect anyone," as she rips another cig. Paul is staring at a man's wife through the window and is threatened with a gun and runs off. The group all argues amongst themselves about making their own meals and sleeping alone. Bert and Jeff fight until the meek Paul snaps and stops them. He says they must work together and all talk. They hear a dog outside and see Dr. Mambo trying to get into the shed with Karen. They yell out to her, but no response. Next morning, Bert gets a truck to crank up and he yells for everybody to come on, let's go. They check on Karen and see her legs covered in wounds. Bert runs back to the Jeep and begins hacking up blood and sees he has flesh wounds on his pelvis area. Karen hacks up blood all over the windshield. They notice Bert doesn't look too well and he grows impatient and drives away. Jeff gets his beer and takes off telling Marcy to stay away since she insists on touching Karen. All right, Paul checks on Marcy who is crying, saying they're all going to get sick. It's like being on a plane you know is going to crash and suddenly she's riding Paul. Hell of a transition. He takes a leak, pouring Listerine on his dick, and Marcy looks in the mirror, seeing flesh wounds forming on her back. Brian, that's the next set of scenes, and I can't wait to hear what you thought about them.
literally the worst set of scenes in this fucking movie with the shit that makes no sense in this goddamn set of scenes. Like, they're putting her in the shed? Like, what? What kind of even sense is that? Like, you can't leave her in the fucking room and just shut the door? You're right, Dustin. These are literally the worst people of all time.
Yeah.
And honestly, just like on a technical note, the lighting in this movie, it looks like there's a street lamp all the time on in these wood scenes. Like, yet it zooms out on the cabin and it's clearly not the case. Like, it's bad noticeable. I mean, and I get in a movie, there's always got to be some sort of lighting on these shots because you won't be able to see them. But what? It looks like there's literally a spotlight on everybody. And what happened here with Karen? Like, they shoo the dog away. Then they call out her name. She doesn't answer. So what do? They just go the fuck back inside until the morning. Like, that's it. They were just like, oh, she's probably asleep until we find her the next morning. Which, by the way, the Jeep miraculously runs now. What? Like, what? What about this super red paint blood that Bert is coughing up now? And his first move is to check his dick. Like, come on, come on. I laughed my ass off when she coughed right back into the car, too. Like, I mean, they just cleaned that shit up. Like, and I wasn't supposed to laugh, but I thought that was funny as hell anyway. And, oh, my God, just come on. Like, all this shit going down. And Eli Roth is, you know what this needs? A sex scene. Like, don't get me wrong. Friend of the show, we love you. You're amazing. But this could possibly be the most unrealistic, unneeded sex scene ever put on film. Like, what sense does that make? Like, there's a fun fact that I'll read at the end here about this scene and the back and forth that Serena and Roth went with. But hey, man, speaking of realistic, we went like, what, 13 seconds? And then first thing we went with is to pour Listerine on your dick. This script, man, is something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was funny, Brian. They finally do what is the smartest thing in the whole film, which is check each other for flesh wounds. Like, that's like the only smart character choice I think anybody makes, minus Jeff. Also, imagine you something bad happens to you and your friends just throw you in a fucking shed. Just shoot me in the head. What the fuck are we doing here? Don't throw me in the shed like a goddamn wounded animal. What the fuck? hey, I can't even blame. I mean, if we're being in the real world here, I can't even blame Sean Hunter for stopping in that window. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's a little creepy, bro. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, you know, hey. I feel like the husband here is one of the worst acting performances in the film. Like, so, like, 80s terrible fucking comedy. Just not, God, it's bad shit. And this whole, like, rah-rah character that Ryder Strong tries to play here just isn't for me. Such a departure from what I'm used to, and I don't think he pulls it off. This whole, we just have to communicate. All right, guys, this isn't a fucking Magic School Bus episode, man. Like, what the fuck is this? And the flashbacks, again, I talked about, they're just, why are they here? Like, I don't understand. They don't tie into anything, really. Also, it would be a real tough day at the office if all of a sudden flies started flying around your privates. That's a real, that's not good. That's a tough day. And honestly, man, I'm just leaving her here, dude. Like, I'm not fooling with this infected, getting it all over the fucking windows. No, thank you. And when Kevin walks away, he has the douchiest walk ever. Like, just, God, you're such a douche. I know it's a pointless sex scene. It's unrealistic. It doesn't make sense. And it's definitely something that Eli Roth just threw in.
It's definitely realistic. I mean, it was only 13 seconds. I don't know about you guys, but that was realistic.
Yeah, no need to brag, yeah, Brian.
Hey, easy killer. What the fuck? Make the rest of us look bad over here. Unrealistic, unnecessary. Totally understand all that. Poorly written into the script. Definitely just Eli Roth thinking, oh, man, what if they fucked here? That's what I think. However, if I was Sean Hunter, I'd probably just have to do that too. I mean, what the hell else are we going to do? We're all about to die. Flesh-eating disease. What the fuck? And then I wrote, you know how we had the dick twist? The old dick twist? This is the old Listerine on the dick trick, man. Like, I've never seen this before. I know you were trying to disinfect, but that is a new one. Okay? Listerine's for your mouth, not your dick. That's all I got.
Yeah, Nico, you said the word pelvis in your scene by scene, and every time I hear that word now, I think of the Lil Wayne song "Took His Time" because he says the phrase "the pelvis overwhelming."
Yes, yeah,
and that's such a fucking funny phrase. But anyway, this is the least amount of notes that I have on any scene because, yeah, like you said, this is probably the worst set of scenes. These suck. This friend group—they're terrible friends. Making Karen sleep in the fucking shed. They don't care about her at all. They should have went back to the pig farmer right away as a group and demanded she take them to town right then. When they go out and scare the dog away from Karen's shed, is Bert wearing a shirt with Ron Jeremy on it? Anyone else notice that? That aged terribly. What a scumbag that guy turned out to be. And I'm not even talking about porn. He's just a piece of shit.
I didn't even notice that.
No, I noticed these things. I feel no sympathy when he's the next one infected. His character is a douche anyway. Fuck him. And boy, Paul and Marcy, they forgot all about Jeff and Karen awful quickly. World's ending. Let me bang my friend's friend. She's on Lori Grimes time. And buddy, let me tell you, Listerine won't help if she burned you. Gonna need some antibiotics, possibly orally and a shot. But yeah, I got nothing, man.
Shout out to Lori Grimes. Bert makes it to the store, honking the horn like crazy. He gets out the car, screaming for help. Tommy walks out saying he doesn't look too hot, and he goes inside to call a doctor. Suddenly, Dennis starts screaming pancakes and hops off the swing and starts doing martial arts moves and bites Bert's hand. Tommy is now accusing Bert of doing this to him. Bert drives away, and Tommy tells another guy there's kids in the cabin with disease, and they gave it to Dennis. Paul tells Marcy he's leaving to find Jeff so they can leave. Bert's truck breaks down, and so does he in a bit of rage. The gas station gang find the broken-down truck as Paul finds the corpse in the water supply. He grabs a stick and drags the body closer to him. The ladder rung breaks he's holding onto, and he falls into the water. He panics and makes it out, seeing the sign above about the reservoir. Bert is being hunted through the woods, leaving blood trails. We see Marcy shaving her legs in the tub and the horrific flesh wounds on her back. She shaves her other leg now, and the flesh begins to peel back from infection. She showers and panics, hearing a gunshot. For some reason, she runs outside and tries to make it in the shed, but is killed and eaten by Dr. Mambo. Paul finds Dr. Mambo eating Karen, too, and he's chased. He falls over and grabs the BB gun and shoots the dog. He checks on Karen and sees she's too far gone and kills her off with a shovel. Paul packs a bag and goes to leave, but Bert is on the front porch. He drags him inside as the gas station gang finds the cabin. They open the door, and Bert is killed with a gunshot. The shooter is hit in the head and falls to the ground, shooting Tommy by accident. Paul stabs the other guy in the ear with a screwdriver, and Paul finishes Tommy off by impalement with a limb. And the next set of scenes is the end. Go ahead, Brian.
Bro, just listening to you read that fucking pancake scene, like, as a, it's just, it's so fucking outrageous. Like, it's just, Bert makes it to the general store, and I was joking earlier about Eli Roth just making shit up as he goes, but this is an actual fun fact. My guy literally saw Matthew Helms practicing Taekwondo during a break in filming and just made this scene up on the spot. Where did the pancakes part fucking come from? Like, what? And then Bert stands there and lets him bite him. Like, just stands there. So now we have the redneck posse wanting to murder them because of what exactly? Like, this movie is unwatchable. You know, I almost said almost unwatchable. No, it is unwatchable. That's why I have not made it through this movie until Mike just made me. Now, with that said, this scene with Serena in the bathtub shaving, great effects. But, and I mean, shit, that's literally what made Eli Roth even want to make the movie. So it better be a good scene. Roth said he originally even got the idea while he was working in Iceland on a horse farm and got such a bad skin infection from the rotting hay in the barn, which I didn't even know was a thing, that his face broke out in sores, bled, and peeled off when he shaved. Hell, sound mixer John Neff survived the real flesh-eating bacteria as well and maintains that the makeup in the film is 100% accurate. And I mean, hey, that's a positive. It's still not enough to save the movie, in my opinion, but that is a really good scene. And Paul, Mercy killing Karen, like, have we seen anyone actually die from this disease yet? Like, unless I'm mistaken, no. So what sense does it make to fucking Mercy kill your friend? You know, like, could you have not picked something better, by the way, or sharper that didn't mean, like, when you beat her to death with a shovel, it had splashing red blood everywhere? God damn, dude. Like, you kill a guy later with a fucking piece of wood or whatever. You could have done it here. Jesus. Again, the color of blood they use in this movie is just, it's terrible. It's like super bright red. It's just not good. Corn syrup, man. That's what they use in Carrie. That's from Scream.
Woozy here, man. Anyway, I don't have a whole lot here. Man, I knew, like, they're back at this gas station thing. And again, characters that I just don't care about. I kind of forgot they were in the movie to begin with till we got it here. It was weird to see Serena Vincent with the old Freddy Krueger back. That looked, honestly, the effects do look good in this movie. Or at least I think. I think the skin kind of rotting off and stuff, I think that stuff looks pretty good. If I had to make a compliment here, these town bumpkins look like the farmer rednecks from South Park to me. So I thought that was funny. Also, Ryder Strong poking a dead guy with a stick reminds me of that episode of Family Guy where, hey, you want to poke a dead guy with a stick, which I'd never seen until that episode. So here it is again. This man basically inflicts his own infection on himself. Like he fell in the water because he was fucking around with this dead guy. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, it's just the last. Honestly, I know that she can feel the wounds on her back, but the last thing I would do if I had an infection roaming around was shave anywhere, shave my legs. Again, the effects look good, so not a complaint. Just I just think there's dumb characters here. Another off screen kill that I fucking hate. And then having to kill Karen was probably pretty tough. So I thought that was a good choice, like a mercy kill, like you said. And the one, bright spot here, that's all I got. This screwdriver to the brain kill I actually really, really like. To get in there through the ear, screwdriver, I thought it was pretty fun. Probably the best kill of the film to me.
So, yeah, Bert makes it back to the store. But I did find it amusing that they took the group's advice from earlier and they put up a sign saying, don't sit next to Dennis, the menace. That was good. But why the fuck did the little bastard jump up and start doing karate moves? The hell is going on in this movie? Was Eli Roth on a Stephen King bender is what I put in my notes. I am what you said, Brian. I did not know that. That makes a lot more sense. Like he saw and was like, oh, fuck yeah, let's put that in the movie.
That's insane.
And then why did Bert just let the little bastard bite him? Like he didn't move at all. The fuck? Okay. Then they take off after Bert with a gun. So we have a new threat for our gang. As if a virus that kills you and rabid dogs weren't enough. Now there's another group of killers in the mix. Okay. Now, I'm no expert. But when Paul found the guy that they lit on fire in the water, if he's what's contaminated the water supply, I don't know. I don't know if he would have contaminated all of the water so quickly. Like, it seems unlikely. But honestly, I don't know. But I think it would take a little bit more time for the water to get that far downstream to get into the pipes that they're drinking from.
Thank you.
I got a little queasy when Marcy was shaving her legs and her skin was decaying. Rubbing a razor over the wound on her leg almost made me vomit. That was gross. Then Paul shoots the dog. And I go back to what I said about PETA having to hate this movie along with me. Well, I don't side with PETA often, but here we are. Gruesome effects on Karen with her face being all fucked up. Not sure why Paul decided to go Patrick Bateman with the garden utensil, though. Like, getting her blood splatter on your face seems less than ideal. Maybe I'm wrong.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very intense score when the gas station crew shows up at the cabin. Didn't help, though. Did not help. Didn't like it anymore. These guys outnumbered Paul 3-1 and were armed, and they let him, a pussy, as we heard earlier. That was the direct word that was used to describe him. Take them all out. Okay, let's get out of here.
All right, here's the end. Paul runs through the woods looking for Jeff, yelling not to drink the water. Paul finds Justin's body mangled in a cave. Paul drives away and notices his flesh wounds on his hand as he fixes the mirror until suddenly he runs into a deer that gets lodged into the windshield. He shoots a deer and the truck shuts off. Deputy Winston is partying with some kids as a bloody Paul arrives. He apologizes about the tow truck and offers a ride. Winston gets a radio signal about killing the kids on site if found. Guitar man hits a harmonica man in the mouth, lodging it in his throat. That was pretty gnarly, I can't lie. Paul kills guitar man, then hits Winston with a baseball bat in the head. Paul passes out in the road and a truck driver drops him off at a county hospital. He relives moments with Karen until he wakes up in his bed. The sheriff asks him how he got the disease and he walks out with the doctors. Doctors tell the sheriff they're not equipped to handle this. Sheriff says, put him in the car and I'll handle it. Paul's in the backseat of Winston's car who swigs a beer. Back in the woods, Jeff wakes up a drunken mess and stumbles down to the lake. He makes it back to the cabin and sees all the carnage. He finds Bert's dead body and continues looking through the cabin. He weeps, saying they're all dead, and I made it. He begins to celebrate that he made it with hands to the sky like Daniel Bryan until he walks outside and is gunned down by police. Sheriff and his crew light the corpses on fire and investigate the cabin more. Two kids get a cooler full of contaminated water and have a lemonade sale. The cops are the first customers, and then some black folks arrive, and Cadwell goes inside and gets his gun. He hands him the rifle, and they exchange the N-word with one another. The whole town begins to drink the lemonade, and the film ends with a truck driver who's delivering spring water, driving away with a cup of lemonade. Brian, what did you think about the ending?
Wow. First off, is that possibly the fakest looking deer on planet Earth that he runs into? That may be, like, it's the worst thing I've ever seen, quite possibly. And there's just no need for that fake deer scene, like, at all. There's no need for any of that at all. And then we have orders from the police to shoot them on sight because of what exactly? Because, again, has anyone in this movie died from this disease and I miss it? No, I don't think so. I really think everybody got killed from other means. Then what is this hospital scene? Like, doing the same weird shit that The Shining did with the bunny in one of the passing rooms? Like, did you see that? Like, kind of mimicking the bear scene and the bear blowjob scene from The Shining? I don't know. This entire ending is just absolute dog shit. That's what I think about it.
Hey, you're not wrong. Also, freaking Jeff over here drinking IPAs before that was even a fucking thing. I thought that was funny. I was like, an IPA and O2, and I know everyone on this show thinks it tastes like piss. I get it. I understand.
Gross.
I'm the only one that doesn't. we get the death of Eli Ross character, who just like has to be in most of his movies somewhere. He takes that from his guy Quentin Tarantino for sure. Honestly, Brian, I get it, but this fucking deer scene is hilarious because it looks so bad. Like, these fucking like hooves and shit, like trying to like scratch it, a rider's strong, is fucking funny, man. How about Sean Hunter having more kills in this movie than Freddy Krueger has in Freddy vs. Jason? What the fuck, man? All of a sudden he becomes this badass. I don't get it. The whole scene in the hospital feels so drawn out. And then we get Winston again, who I was hoping we didn't have to fucking see in this movie again. And of course, here he is being way too involved. Jeff has a satisfying on-screen death, because he needed to die. He was put on this in this movie to fucking die. And I was happy to see it finally. And then this whole, you know, they cut. I talked about it earlier, but they bring the N-word back around for one joke, and it's really fucking lame, and it doesn't hit. I don't know. And then they play fucking old gospel slave tunes and sing them together. Just nope, no thank you, not good. Well, I mean, that's what Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. That's rubber. Right there, big fella. Anyway, that's all I had. I thought the ending just fell super fucking flat.
So, added to the dead animals from earlier, now Paul hits a deer and shoots it. The hell are we doing here, man? And it didn't even serve a purpose. Like, it was stupid. I laughed when the radio said the kids were on a killing spree when Paul found Winston. Great comedic timing there. I don't know. That was a positive. I enjoyed that. And am I the only one that noticed that when Buddy went all Jeff Jarrett and swung the guitar, it was brown, but the guitar that hit the guy was black? I let out the biggest sigh. Like, how do you not catch that? Anyway. But I did laugh when Paul coughs blood on some folks and all Winston is worried about is the party being ruined. Winston sucks, man. Also got a good laugh when the semi dropped Paul at the hospital and got the hell out of Dodge, and Lieutenant Dan was in the background and he saw Paul and just immediately turned around. Is this movie supposed to be a comedy? Because if it is, they didn't lean enough into it for it to work for me, but there are some funny ass parts in it. Then he's in the hospital bed. The cop wants to hear the story from the beginning, but he and the doctors leave after Paul said the man looks like Bert's marshmallow. That's all the info they needed. That's some great detective work. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And then why and how the fuck did Jeff end up back at the cabin? This dumbass took off to escape and walked in a big ass circle and came back empty handed? Shitting me. And then the funniest part of the whole movie, he's celebrating making it and the cops empty their clips on him. Best possible ending for this shitty group of protagonists. Movie should have ended there, but it wasn't. We get the whole dead Paul in the lemonade water supply stuff and, you know, the black people showing up to get their rifle. Come the fuck on, man. What? Thank God this viewing experience is over.
Yep. All right, let's jump into social media comments and questions. I got Instagram. Started off with former blood donor. Really appreciate it. Missy Hutchinson Wall commented, can't wait for this one with 3 exclamation marks. All righty. Dana Tucker 48 commented, I love this movie. No questions, though. I'm currently watching The Strangers Pray at Night and then The Witch because of you guys. Both I've seen more than once. Can't say it enough. I love you guys. Thanks, Dana. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Digital Bath commented, best twist ending in movie history, IDGAF. I'm giving you the Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp look right now. Hey, I respect your opinion. All right. Nick A. Batista commented, this was the strangest episode of Boy Meets World. I can't believe Sean Hunter went to a remote cabin and didn't invite Corey Matthews to come along. What would Mr. Feeney think about this? Then he followed it up. Love the show, fellas. Looking forward to hearing what you all think about this one. Brother, if you like this movie, you probably aren't going to like the way we feel about it.
Sorry, guy.
Jordan Ziegler commented, I've avoided this movie ever since I saw a part of the shaving scene as a kid. But after listening to you guys' review, I'll probably end up watching it, LOL.
Yeah,
I would advise not to.
Jordan, trust me. This is not good. Actually, do watch it because your reaction is going to be hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to... There's better ways you can spend an hour and a half. I'll just put it that way. Salty Oh Soul commented, I want to ask, do you think this could really happen in real life? A water virus? Plus, I love how Eli Roth decided to be the pothead in his cameo. Laughing emojis, he's crazy. I'll touch on 2 things. Eli Roth is only the pothead because the actor they hired backed out. So he just filled in. He actually wasn't supposed to be in that role. I saw that in the interview he did. He was still god awful. That doesn't exchange that or fix that part. Face. But, this virus can really happen. I saw where he touched on that. I think Brian touched on it as well. He got that. He got a flesh-eating virus. And he brought up another virus that spreads in America. I can't remember the name of it. But it's some kind of flesh-eating virus. Like he said 2,000 Americans get it every year. And, yeah, it's a flesh-eating virus. It can definitely happen. Book of Faces.
Book of Faces. Cole McAlexander, I remember when we first rented this movie to watch, the skin peel scene. Oh, trauma for a 9-year-old. Michelle Mirza, I just watched this for the first time after you guys said you were reviewing it this month. I had a lot of fun with it. Sorry, Michelle. Joe Swinford, every girl who has ever seen this movie thinks about it when she shaves her legs. I believe that. And then Eric Doolittle replied, I've never shaved my legs, and I still think about it.
All right, I'll do X now. Man, used to when I would say I was going to do X, it's had a different meaning, but we're not talking about X, brother. I'm gonna read the comments off of the app formerly known as Twitter. That guy, Millhouse 14108, said, seen this when it came out and still don't want to watch it again. Blood and gore effects still hold up pretty good. Got to say, watching Sean Hunter attempt to give Karen hand-to-gland combat, only to find out he's... Hold on.
Hand-to-gland combat?
Seeing Sean Hunter attempt to give Karen hand-to-gland combat, only to find he's working a decayed bloody thigh pocket, still makes me cringe with a puke emoji. 6 out of 10 for me. Brother, that's a 10 out of 10 comment. That shit was good.
That is. That's fantastic.
Randy Smith, Go Dog, said, I really enjoyed this movie. Plus, it was the first movie me and my wife saw in theaters while we were dating. The fact she stayed with you, brother, congrats, because I would have called it off after seeing this piece of shit.
Jesus.
Mookie said, love this movie. Got me started into the, quote, torture porn, eye roll emoji era. Also watched this with my mom, and to this day, she brings up the leg shaving scene when we start talking about movies, LOL. And then Anita Russell said, this is the first movie that grossed me out, still a really good movie. I got to ask, what did we miss? Because, like, every comment was positive.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we took it too serious, which is fair.
I don't think they've watched this movie since 2002.
Maybe that's it.
I just can't believe I shit on this for being kind of fun and kooky and gave Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey a 7. So what the fuck do I know?
There's a huge difference.
There is.
Yeah, and plus, like, Maximum Overdrive is fun and kooky. Like, this isn't fun. They tried to be serious.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes. Fair.
All right.
Budget.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was waiting on fun facts, pal.
Yeah, that's not entirely your fault, Mike. We usually do fun facts in the budget.
Thank you. Suck. All of you can suck my ass. Anyway.
Damn.
Whoa, hey, I'm just saying, pal.
What made you go with that verse?
This movie was made for a whopping $1.5 million and grossed worldwide just under $31 million. There's a sequel. There's a remake. Why there's a remake for a movie that was only that old, I'll never understand. But
have you seen the sequel?
No, I've never seen Cabin Fever 2.
I've never seen the remake.
I kind of want to watch the sequel. It's got Ty West as the director.
Is the remake better than this? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
Hmm.
Less bad kookiness, for sure. Huh.
Nico, I did notice that Ty West directed the second one, so I kind of want to just to see, but
I do
you're
too.
Not wrong. That's a good idea.
He's about to have the best horror trilogy in mankind, so I'm
and
ready to tune
in. That's why Maxine is coming 8/24 month, fellas. Let's go.
Let's relax.
Wow.
It's good. What's wrong with that?
No, I'm saying Nico, best of all. No, let's pump the brakes here.
I finally get Brian a good A24 movie to watch, and he's over here complaining.
The beta wall, Dustin.
All right, let's do fun facts. Brian, do you have any, or do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead, because I have one really long one, so go ahead.
Pause. I've got a few that you may or may not have seen said. If I do, weekly disclaimer, just cut it. Crew member Robert Jones took home the decapitated body prop. Decapitated? What did I just say? Decapitated body prop once the film wrapped and was pulled over while driving home by police officers at gunpoint who thought the corpse in the passenger seat was real. The police held Jones at gunpoint until they were able to confirm the lifelike body was only a prop. This one blew my fucking mind. Peter Jackson stopped production on The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, 3 times to screen this movie for the entire crew. Jackson was so enthusiastic about the film, he gave director Eli Roth publicity quotes. What? Those two movies could not be further apart as far as quality goes. What the fuck is Peter Jackson doing? And I'm glad that we did the budget before the fun facts tonight, because I have this one. The movie had the lowest budget of any Lionsgate film released in 2003 at $1.5 million and was their highest grossing film of 2003. It was also the most profitable horror film released in 2003. Saw 2004, another horror film released by Lionsgate, would beat this film's record the following year in 2004 for highest grossing film over a similar low budget. That's okay. People were going to see it. Support cinema. Eli Roth originally intended to play Deputy Winston himself, but Giuseppe Andrews gave a really impressive audition. So, Nico, I'm glad you said that about there was another actor supposed to play the stoner, because I originally thought Eli Roth was going to play Deputy Winston. And then he's like, oh, Giuseppe killed it, so let me just write myself into this movie somehow, because that's what it felt like. But yeah, to know that that character existed blows my mind. Out of 347 films shown at the 2002 Toronto International Film Festival, Cabin Fever was screened last and became the highest selling movie at the festival. Nearly all of the 9 studios who engaged in a bidding war had passed on the movie at script stage. Okay, I can see why. When Marcy sleeps with Paul, it wasn't meant to seem so sudden. Scenes that were filmed but not included in the final movie show Marcy and Paul becoming closer before it happened. Probably should have left those in, because that did seem rushed.
Right.
Lionsgate Films bought the movie for an undisclosed sum in the, quote, high 7 figures. With an 8-figure commitment to prints and advertising, it's the most money Lionsgate has ever spent acquiring a motion picture. What? Again, I ask, what did we miss? What am
I
missing?
This movie's got fans, man. It just happens to not be us four.
And the last one I've got is a fun one. Serena Vincent was in Not Another Teen Movie with Chris Evans, who's in Scott Pilgrim versus the World with Michael Cera, who's in Superbad with Seth Rogen, who's in the A24 movie, Brian's favorite, The Disaster Artist. In that movie, The Disaster Artist, There's a movie poster hanging on the wall in a scene. The movie I'm talking about, the all-time classic, Ready to Rumble, starring David Arquette.
Oh, my God. A movie poster.
Dude, a movie poster. So I've been doing that A24 watch through, and I watched The Disaster Artist, which is based on a real life story, and it's batshit crazy. Definitely go watch it. It's hilarious. James Franco, Dave Franco. But he's auditioning for a role, and he's in this like office in a studio, and there's movie posters hanging on the wall, and one of them is Ready to Rumble. One of my favorite fucking movies.
Nice. All right. Go ahead. Bear with me. This one's kind of long. So like I said, and like I mentioned during the review, this is kind of the details on that. So during her sex scene with Ryder Strong, Eli Roth wanted Serena Vincent to be completely naked, but Vincent, who had previously played a student who never wore clothes in Not Another Teen Movie, like we just mentioned, was concerned that overexposing herself would lead to her being typecast as a nude scene chick, and refused to bare her rear in Cabin Fever. The standoff, this is how fucking bizarre Eli Roth is, I guess. The standoff between the director and actress became so intense that Vincent informed Roth that if he truly wanted a naked ass in the scene, that he would have to get another actress to play the role of Marcy. Eventually, the two hammered out a compromise. Vincent would show 1 inch of her ass on the film. No more, no less. When the scene was set to be filmed, Roth brought a ruler onto the set and literally measured 1 inch of Vincent's butt crack. Bed sheets were then taped to Vincent's ass at the designated level before the sex scene was shot. Ironically, Vincent later volunteered to bare her breasts in a scene that didn't call for them during the bathroom scene where she discovers the rashes on her back. The script had her wearing a robe. But anyway, she wouldn't do another nude scene in a movie until the short film Manchild in 2007, where she was totally nude during a skinny dipping scene. How bizarre is that?
Doug, like, that's just... I'm crying thinking about Eli Roth sticking a ruler in this girl's ass. Like, what the fuck?
So it's crazy. I wish I'd read that when we did the interview. I might have asked her about it.
Hey, we met our crack quota. 1 inch.
So tell me about this 1 inch deal on Cabin Fever.
Imagine it being someone's job in the freaking editing room to make sure you don't get more than an inch of her ass crack.
That's some wild behavior. I'll jump to our favorite kill, least favorite kill, and the rating. Mike, how about you kick us off this week?
All right, so my favorite kill was actually the screwdriver to the head. I actually thought it looked really cool and a very creative kill. My least favorite is almost all the rest of these kills suck, to be honest, which is really upsetting considering the director, you know, who's behind the movie with Eli Roth and some of the kills he's had, you know, Hostel and some other movies like even Thanksgiving, which I know I'm the only one that seems to like it on this show, but there's some good kills in it as well. So just kind of some disappointing kills with the small little mini rant here. I have a good time with it. I know I spent the whole show shitting on it. I do have a little bit of fun with it just because there are some parts where it's so bad it's good. But all in all, I can't say it's a good film. I can't say I enjoy watching it. But it's like, kind of a brain dead movie in a lot of the way. Like, hey, I can put it on. Oh, shit, what's happening? Some crazy shit's happening on my screen, but it's not enough. Bad writing, in my opinion, bad dialogue, bad characters. And I just don't think the movie kind of plays out well. So I understand the love for it. I do. It's very of its time. I think I read a review that said it was American Pie 2 with horror. Okay, sure. American Pie 2 is actually hilarious. So I don't know where that came from. But anyway, all in all, glad we got to review it. It was time, but I'm still going to give this movie a 4 out of 10.
All right, I'll go next. Favorite kill, I kind of want to go with the screwdriver as well, but a part of me wants to go with a harmonica in the throat. Give me the harmonica in the throat.
That's a good kill.
That's just a funny kill. Like, you don't see that kind of kill that often. I'll go with that one. Least favorite kill, I'm going Marcy. Like, what? Like, the shaving scene was cool. Like, it's honest. I mean, all the comments spoke on it. But why does she run outside and get eaten alive by a dog? That just made no sense to me. And she is, you know, friend of the show, Serena Vincent. Shout out to her. She's super nice. Thoughts? Eli Roth, I listened to some interviews. I think he's an interesting guy. I know he pays homage. He has a huge amount of respect for classic horror. I respect that. You know, in the interviews, he said he wanted to, he pulled inspiration from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Thing, Evil Dead. He wanted to make a, like you mentioned, Dustin, throughout, I think, Brian, you may have mentioned it as well. They leaned into a lot of comedy. He wanted to have comedy and horror, but it didn't work. It didn't work at all. It's not funny. It's just cringy, bad dialogue. Like, even this kind of dialogue wasn't funny to me in like 2002 or three when it came out. It's just, it's try hard fraternity stuff, and it's just not funny to me. Bad characters, kind of bad acting. You had good effects. I did think the effects were good. I thought like the blood, the sores, I thought was good. Serena Vincent, she's really nice. I'm giving the movie some a benefit of that. But really, I don't really enjoy anything else about it. We've watched two-hour movies on this program, two and a half. We've even watched three-hour movies. Beau is Afraid. It Chapter 2 is almost 3 hours. This movie feels like an eternity, and it's just it's not a pleasurable watch. It's going to be one of my lowest-rated movies. I'm giving it a 1.5.
Damn. All right, I'll go ahead and go. Maybe even us out a little bit. Who knows? My favorite kill is Karen, kind of. I mean, it's just the effects on her face with the half, with the almost skull poking out. Like, I thought that would look really good, even though we really didn't get to see her kill on screen. And it was stupid that he was hitting her with a shovel, but that's the one I picked anyway. My least favorite kill, I actually went with harmonica in the throat because I thought it was so fucking stupid. That's why. I mean, I get the originality of it, but it, to me, it was dumb. I hated it. Look, there's no tension in this movie to me. Like, it tries to give you tension by trying to avoid the drinking water, but it really just does not work. And again, I don't think anyone actually dies from the skin disease. Shit doesn't make sense the entire movie. People say great gore, but honestly, it really isn't, because the blood like looks like shit. Like, there's only two good scenes in the entire movie, and so I'm giving it a 2.5, and honestly, that's probably being gracious.
Brent, I'm glad you mentioned the blood so much, because what was it recently? In A Violent Nature, I think, where I talked about how such a low budget, the blood looked good, and when the blood doesn't, it can completely ruin it. I said it recently. I don't know what it was either, but the blood sucked in this one. Favorite kill for me, screwdriver through the ear. Hell yeah, enough said. Least favorite kill. Listen, aside from the dozen or so animals that died in vain, I'll say Dennis. I'm assuming he died, since he wasn't at the gas station at the end, and his whole death was stupid. Pointless karate moves and a bite to Bert that wasn't likely, and then you add to it that Dennis's death was off screen. Lame as fuck. Like, a kid just disappeared. Hated it. Final thoughts. This is, without a doubt, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Shout out to Ryder Strong for Boy Meets World, but this was awful. I'm glad you picked it, Mike, because I did need to watch it. You're right. We did need to. But I'll never do it again. 1.5. 1.5. So,
damn, that was the highest one.
That gives us a composite score of 2.375. Now, listen to this, Bull Hockey. IMDb, 5.6. Rotten Tomatoes, 62%. Again, I ask, what am I missing? Did we watch the same movie?
I don't know.
I haven't reviewed it. Let's do it. Next week we get to watch a much better movie. Tell them, Nico.
I mean, the thing is like, even if we don't like it, like Black and White Month or horror classics was like brutal. But I mean, we needed to review those movies.
It was brutal.
It was horrible.
For you.
But it's got to be done. You know, we can't like every movie we watch. Let's shout out our blood donors, and I'll announce my pick for next week. We really appreciate our blood donors. You take a big burden off us. Camper Level Reoccurring, Nina, Michelle Mirza, the Horror Movie Crew Podcast, Alex Seligson, Michael Evans, and Steve Schmidt, a new blood donor. Appreciate that. Camp Council Reoccurring, Edwin Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford, Shan, Adrian Aiello, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Matt Strickland, Brooke Maley, Thorne David Phillips, Heather Superdoc, Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home Podcast, Dana Tucker, and Cole McAlexander. We really appreciate y'all's donations. It really does help us.
Absolutely.
My pick for next week is a pick that it's a movie that I picked. You can ask Mike and Brian many, many, many times. Put it on the calendar. We're going to do this movie next week. Or we're going to do it in a couple weeks. Then I changed my mind like the week before. We're doing 2006's The Hills Have Eyes. I think it's a really good remake. It's a good movie. It's brutal.
I'm pumped. This is one of the movies when we sent our original list around 5 years ago. Pretty sure it was on there.
Oh, yeah. this is a brutal one.
Yeah.
This is a, this to me is kind of one of those, whenever you say 2000s horror movies, like really a remake and really bloody and violent, this is one of those that come to mind. Like the 2000s were a gory, gore porn, and remake decades. I mean, I think this fits the bill perfectly. We appreciate y'all listening. Wasn't a huge fan of Cabin Fever personally, but I know it was one that needed to be done. And it's got a lot of fans, so I hope y'all enjoyed our review. If we were too critical, comment, let us know. Appreciate y'all listening. Y'all have a good one. Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.